Welcome to Inclusion for All Radio, a podcast and story sharing series that seeks to represent the voice of the poor and vulnerable groups in Nigeria. Our aim is to highlight the barriers that keep the poor excluded and advocate for their removal. Inclusion for All Radio, amplifying voices unheard. Hello and welcome to episode 13 of the Inclusion for All radio podcast series. As the year progresses, policymakers are also progressively making good on policy decisions announced in the last quarter of 2023. These decisions are part of concerted efforts to strengthen data security, consumer protection, and curb fraudulent activities in the financial system, amongst other reasons. Ladies and gentlemen, I am Chinasa Collins-Ogbo, podcast host and the Inclusion for All Advocacy and Communications Lead at EFINA. About one in four Nigerian adults are financially excluded. This means that they do not have access to basic financial services, including savings, loans, and insurance products, amongst others. They live in some of the most marginalized and vulnerable communities in the country and are likely to be extremely poor. They are also excluded from Nigeria's identity system. According to EFINA's 2023 Access to Finance Survey, 47.7% of unbanked Nigerians, predominantly marginalized groups, do not have a national identity number, also known as the NIN, one of the key requirements for opening a bank account. Over the past 3 years, the federal government has taken several steps to accelerate NIN uptake in Nigeria. In December 2020, the Nigeria Communications Commission, NCC, ordered all mobile subscribers to link their national identity numbers, NIN, to their SIM cards or risk being blocked from connectivity. In April 2022, all telecom operators were directed to restrict outgoing calls on lines yet to be linked to their NIN, and this resulted in the restriction of more than 30 million Nigerian mobile phone users. However, this did not lead to a significant acceleration in the number of Nigerians enrolling for NIN. By December 2023, over 104 million people had been enrolled, a 10.7% increase from the 94 million recorded in December 2022. The NCC has once again ordered telecom operators to completely block all lines yet to be registered to a NIN by the 28th of February 2024. Subscribers with more than five lines with unverified NINs have been given till March 29, while those with less than five lines have been given till 4th of April. This is the context for the conversation we'll be having on today's podcast, and as we seek to understand what this policy means for vulnerable Nigerians. Episode 13 focuses on formal exclusion threats to vulnerable Nigerians from the NIN SIM ban lens. Joining me is Isa Aliyushata, the Vice Chairman of the Association of Licensed Mobile Payment Operators, the umbrella body for all mobile money operators licensed by the Central Bank of Nigeria. Welcome, Isa. It's a pleasure to have you on this episode of Inclusion for All radio podcast series, and I'm looking forward to have you unpack what this NIN SIM ban means for the poorest Nigerians.
Thank you for having me.
Fantastic. Thank you, sir. So as you've heard the context and introduction to this podcast, you know, the reason this conversation is important for anyone listening is because at Inclusion for All, we're concerned about the groups that we think that will be disproportionately affected, which are the poorest of the poor, the people who live in hard to reach communities. We know that mobile channels are a critical onboarding platform for the unbanked to participate in the financial system. The USSD is particularly a vital channel for utilizing financial services. The 2023 A2F shows that, again, 47.7% of unbanked Nigerians do not own NIN. So if we look at it from that lens, and thinking of restricting access to mobile services without creating efficient access to NIN, we risk deepening their exclusion from the digital and financial ecosystem. Now, as the umbrella body of all mobile money operators in Nigeria, one of the major mandates, I understand, is to deepen financial inclusion. Can you speak to this through the NIMSIM ban lens and the February 28 deadline?
Yeah, thank you very much. For us, just like you have said, mobile money, right, which means leveraging mobile phones to provide financial access or financial platform to the excluded or underserved, right, population. Now, if this happens, what it means is automatically these people will be cut off, you know, from the financial ecosystem. And that will also impact our business because of the huge infrastructure investment that we have put in the industry over the last decades, right? You are right with the exclusion, you know, facts that you read out. The truth is, for us as an umbrella body, it's going to affect us as a business because we have invested a lot in infrastructure. We have invested a lot in technology, in deepening, you know, that gap that exists. But with this current reality, there's no doubt that a lot of, you know, these financially excluded population will be further driven away from the ecosystem. And that will not really, you know, transcend well with the industry, because the drive for us is to continue to increase that bucket of exclusion bucket that we have. And we really want to deepen, you know, more financial services, you know, to, you know, this peri-urban or rural, you know, communities, which is where most of the populations are domiciled. For us, we will be looking at, you know, approaching it more creatively and more innovatively, where critical stakeholders can come together and provide a solution that can properly address the concerns. We know that first, the major concern is to have first to address the issue of insecurity, then at the same time, the fraud that is, you know, really ravaging the industry, which is global, right? But we as an umbrella body are mindful of that. That is the reason why we are, you know, deepening the guidelines that the central bank has provided for us to provide, for our customers to provide more KYC and us doing more customer due diligence, you know, on our customers, which is also, you know, not too cost effective, you know, for us, but it is very, very huge investment. So we are looking at all of this, you know, holistically, to see how we can help also solve the problem, but no doubt it's going to really drive a lot of people out of the financial inclusion drive.
Thank you, Issa. And you know, you touched on, I think you've touched on two issues within your response. There's the NIN BVN requirements to tighten or curb fraudulent activities, but then there's also the NIMSIM ban. I guess it's also, again, I guess the goal is to drive consumer protection and also some data security measure being put in place, right? And I think that we're both aligned on the fact that this could widen the exclusion gap, especially for the populations that are yet to be banked, where the mobile phone is the channel for getting them into the formal financial services, right? But what I haven't heard you talk about is this mandate or this policy mandate that and the deadline of February 28th, what can be done or what are we saying to the regulators to make sure that this threat of further exclusion does not happen? Are we saying, are we asking for an extended timeline, or are we saying that something can be done for the 47% unbanked that don't have NIN to be enrolled within that time frame, or have a program in place that ensures that, you know, over time they are, their opportunities or infrastructure is in place for them to be enrolled so that they're not further disenfranchised?
Yes, spot on. The truth is, we are actually looking at all of these that you've spoken about. We've constantly been engaging with the regulators, right? Even last week, last 2 weeks, we're still in talk with regulators to see how, you know, that timeline can be a bit adjusted, you know, for us to be able to accommodate this vulnerable group. Right. And at the same time, we are also looking at, you know, bringing or developing innovative solutions that can help us you know, in increasing and developing, you know, the bucket, right? We are also looking at discussing with the government to see how we can innovatively create more available avenues, you know, for people to, you know, be onboarded on the NIMS platform. But for us, what we are mostly interested in are clean data, because you will agree with me that even the data that has been collected currently, we still have some ambiguities or some unclean data domiciled in it. If you want to,
which data are you referring to?
We are talking about the NIM itself.
Okay, the NIN. Okay.
The NIM. You've heard a lot of people talking about Nigeria onboarding aliens, you know, into the system.
Yes.
Because we don't have proper verification to authenticate that these guys are really Nigerians or
exactly.
not. Right? And that's the reason why even the recent release today that is talking about over 113.5 million Nigerians that are undocumented, right, within, you know, the population bucket. So we have all of these, you know, ambiguity in the system. And that's the reason why we are asking, you know, these critical stakeholders, which is the regulators, the government, to see how we can holistically create a platform where we can itemize some of these challenges and provide solution to them, right? We already have the existing structures in place where, for instance, you have all of the unit pool for elections and all of that, right, in the communities, which spreads all up to the world level. We can leverage all of these touch points to ensure that we deploy capable hands into these vulnerable communities. I mean, technology is aiding a lot of activities for us today. Even the hard-to-reach areas like the coastal areas or the far hinterland areas, we can deploy drones there to first do like a mapping of those environments before we deploy people to go there, right? So, but we need to really invest more in including, you know, these vulnerable groups into the entire ecosystem for them to at least have access to finance so that they are not, you know, first, you know, disadvantaged in the community. Today we are talking about social safety nets. How do we really get to these people that are poor? And these are the same people that will be left out, you know, in the NIN registration process. So if we really want to address all of this, you know, even the Minister of Humanitarian Affairs will be very, you know, keen in joining this, you know, drive in order for us to be able to accommodate this, you know, vulnerable population, right?
Yeah.
Because as long as we, you know, take them off the bucket, then we cannot really give an actionable data to really say that this is the people or these are the categories that we are channeling all of these social safety net activities to. And you can also feel the pain of the hardship that is going on today. They are also the people who are suffering. So, and in a bid to create financial inclusion, the first major step is to first give them that access to come into the bucket to be registered and to be onboarded. Then they can now have the financial profile for them to be able to have access to all of these different advantage that financial inclusion opportunity brings on board.
You're right. Absolutely agree with you. And I'd just like to speak more specifically to the topic of the moment, which is the NIMSIM ban, right? And so I hear you talk about verification being a challenge, which we've also identified, which is basically for people who need to link their NIMS to their SIMs. There are some people that have already linked that NIM to the SIM, but hasn't been verified. Those people are at risk of being disconnected completely, right? And so, which then means that through no fault of theirs, are they going to be removed or disconnected, taken off the grid? Because again, that's now a challenge beyond their own, that is beyond them. Then there are also the people who don't have the NIN to even link, who need to enroll. And that's also based on access to enrollment centers. I'd just like to understand or get a sense of your understanding of the challenge for enrollment. So we understand that there's a verification issue. I want to understand what your plans are for, or what the plans you're aware of, what you're proposing to address that verification challenge in the timeline that we have. And then for people who haven't enrolled and would like to enroll, especially those in hard to reach communities, what the plans are. And I also, you know, you touched on leveraging existing structures like the electoral system, I think, where it goes up to the ward level and you can leverage those channels to reach those people. Just to have an understanding of what your plan is or what your proposed plan is to the regulators around those issues.
Okay, fantastic. I will, you know, divide your question into two.
Please.
Right. The first question, you know, hinges around those who are already in the system,
yes,
but do not have access because of linkage problem.
Because of verification.
Yeah, which is the verification.
Yes.
The second one is those who don't even have at all.
Yes.
And that be excluded.
Yes.
Now, the first, to your first question, right, is that even the director of compliance at NCC has spoken about this.
Okay.
Right. And he said that there is a legacy problem from the legacy SIM that they had together with the current, you know, SIM that they have. So there's no synchronization on that part. So they are having challenges there. So it is no fault, just like you rightly
put. So there's no synchronization with, is it NCC and?
Yeah, the legacy SIM.
Okay.
The legacy SIM, which is probably the first set of SIM cards that they started with, you know, registering people with, right?
Wow.
And the current one that they have today. So they have two platforms. So those
right.
two platforms need to communicate with each other for them to be able to synchronize data, right? For this proper verification to take place.
Okay.
Now, they have come out to say that there's a challenge on that front, which is no fault, like you rightly put, which is no fault of the people who are.
Mm-hmm.
So, which means that the government really need to look inwards into their policy. Yes, while we are trying to rush to solve a problem,
yes.
let's not create an additional problem,
absolutely,
right,
mm-hmm.
in the system. So what we need to do correctly is to see how we can first solve that issue of synchronization and verification, where we either can deploy additional technology or an improved technology that can help bridge that gap,
mm-hmm.
or we can immediately bring these people on board on a fresh verification or fresh registration.
Yeah.
So this is the first aspect that we need to deal with, and that requires time. So
absolutely.
There should be an extension of timeline, you know, for them to be able to achieve this, which is part of what we are engaging the regulators
okay.
on, which is what I said earlier.
Okay.
Now, the second aspect is those who don't even have at all, who don't have the names
yes.
at all, they are, you know, willing to come on board. And you even have those who don't have, but they are not even interested.
Yes.
Why? Because there is no incentive
absolutely.
To drive them into that ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to approach it in two fronts. First, there is an incentive drive for social safety nets. If that can be properly communicated to them through awareness in the community using their invisible gatekeepers.
You can see the reason why.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Then we can, you know, at least unbundle that part of those who are really not interested,
mm-hmm.
right, in the system, or who don't have belief in the system. But for those, you know, who are willing
yes.
and do not have access, like I said earlier,
yes.
part of what we are creating is we as an umbrella body, AMPO, we already have agency networks spread in almost everywhere in Nigeria. The 774,000 words, local government rather, that we have in Nigeria,
yes.
we have presence of agents there. And we have more than at least 1.5 million agents spread across Nigeria today. So we can leverage that structure, you know, to be able to provide access to these people, because the main purpose for why we are created in the first place is to drive that financial inclusion, you know, process
mm-hmm.
and to increase the financial inclusion process and
so,
reduce
so
the
So what you're saying is that NIMC can leverage your agent network
exactly.
for NIN enrollment.
Exactly.
And has that conversation been had?
Yeah, we've started that. Even some of our agents, you know, did, you know, take part in this exercise in the past.
Okay.
But later, I think it was stopped by NIMS, right? NIMS is Interbank Settlement, right? So they were the one who were distributing.
Sorry, it was stopped by NIBS or NIMC?
NIBS. NIBS is Interbank Settlement.
Okay, so but we're talking about ID enrollment.
Yes. So what I'm saying is that mm-hmm. there is a conversation between NIMS and NIMC
right.
to see how they can exactly work together, leverage our structure.
Okay.
Right? Because all of them are government establishments, so nobody works in isolation.
Absolutely.
Now, if you have an existing infrastructure,
network.
You have an existing investment
mm-hmm.
in one organization, you can leverage the other organization because all of you are part and parcel of those organizations come together.
Shared goal.
Exactly. More or less like shared, you know, ideas and shared resources,
yes.
You know, to be able to achieve this. So, but for us, the NIMC can leverage our huge spread of agency network to bring in these excluded people or these people that will be excluded in the rural or peri-urban centers into the ecosystem.
Fantastic. So basically, the agreement is this: the deadline needs to be extended to accommodate for the people who have links and have verification challenges because of some infrastructural challenges between NCC and the NIMC. And then for enrollments, for those who don't have the NIN and would like to enroll, or even those who are not interested in enrolling, there needs to be there needs to be an infrastructure that enables that enrollment process. They need to have proximity to the people who would ensure that they get the NIN, and that currently doesn't seem to exist. And so your organization is in conversation, or at least is proposing a collaboration between the relevant agencies, which is like NIMC and NIBS, to leverage the existing infrastructure to make sure that more people can get enrolled. Is that correct?
Correct.
Fantastic. Okay, so I'd just like to then touch on one last thing, and which is, in light of all that we've talked about, and just specifically given a sense of what can happen over the next few weeks, what recommendations would you give to, you know, policymakers and regulators and other key stakeholders, maybe specific ones, to ensure that this NIN-SIM ban does not exacerbate financial exclusion amongst the vulnerable Nigerians? What would your specific recommendations be to specific regulators or policymakers?
First and foremost, it would be nice for them to have this feedback loop back into the system, because it's very critical and very important.
Okay.
You see, for every project you want to embark on, once you test the waters, definitely you must leave room for feedback mechanism, right?
Yes.
For you to be able to gauge whether that project is, you know, thriving, or that project is impacting in people's life, or it's going to be negative. So feedback mechanism is cool. And the only way you can get that feedback is to create that platform, you know, create that emergency platform for critical stakeholders to come together and have, you know, their voices heard and discuss, even involve those in those communities as well. If you can have a representative within that community using their invisible gatekeepers, like probably the traditional rural representative or the youth leaders or the, you know, the peer groups in those communities to come and also represent and add a voice, you know, to this process. That is the first step. And this will be my recommendation first to people in government. Now, the second aspect is to leverage technology to drive the process. I mean, we are very lucky today that we are in a technology age where we have almost everything that we need at, you know, the tips of our fingers to be able to address some critical challenges that we are facing. So again, if the authority leverage the experiences of people like us that are already in the system, you know, to help them guide, because what we are talking about is about identity management, identity crisis, which is one of the, you know, problems that we have faced over the past years in terms of compromising data, and insecurity has crept in in that aspect. So it will be very important, you know, for the authorities to bring critical stakeholders together to come and, you know, add a voice, you know, to the entire process by leveraging technology to drive it. Now, you cannot underestimate experience as well. There are those who have done this before. There are those, you know, who are doing it for the first time. There are those who had done it outside the country in Nigeria, and some of them even belong to our umbrella body. So we can leverage their experiences, you know, to see how we can streamline all of the activities around onboarding, adoption rate, awareness drive, and of course, the turnaround time in how we can have a clean data. And what are those data that we are collecting? How do we verify that those data are clean? How do we verify that the people that we are onboarding are Nigerians? You know, These are all of the things that we need to be looking at. So they need to set up a parameter for authentication process before you verify, then you now onboard, which is registration. And from registration, who mines that data to ensure that we subject those data to auditing, right? So once we have all of this cycle of project management process completed, then you can now say that you have a clean data that everybody can use and can relate to.
Are you saying that there are no parameters for verification that exist at the moment, or they're just not sufficient?
They are not sufficient, right? Okay. And if people can already identify some loopholes within the system, or they are taking advantage of some loopholes in the system, because I remembered even the head of NIMSI,
yes,
came out and said that, you know, they had challenges and they discovered that there were a lot of people who are taking advantage of the loopholes in the system. So if they have identified that, which means they have taken a step further in solving the problem, because identifying a problem is 50% solving the problem, mm-hmm, right? So it is very important that they, you know, look at this critically. I am talking from experience.
Right.
I knew what we went through in terms of BVN verification. I know what is currently happening even with the BVN data that we have in the financial system, right? So I am talking from experience. I know what I'm saying. So because they say Nigeria are pretty smart population. So that's the reason why, mm-hmm, we need to be 10 steps ahead of whoever want to game the system to ensure that we have clean data that is verifiable and that can be well adjudged to be clean data for everyone to adopt and to use.
Awesome. I think I have actually one last question, and maybe it's me just asking you to comment on, or to just hear your views on what you think the role of ID is in driving financial inclusion based on these current policy mandates, which is the NIN SIM ban, for instance, and the NIN BVN requirement. Do you believe that ID is a, what role do you think ID plays in the financial inclusion drive?
Yeah, ID is very important. And that's the reason why we have tier levels of transaction, mm, right? Mm-hmm. We have tier one, which means with your ordinary phone number,
yes,
right, you can have a basic account and you cannot do certain amount of transaction, right? When you want to exceed that limit of transaction, which is set by
I'm now speaking about formal ID. So your telephone number, does that suffice as formal ID, given that we're also moving to a tier one that now requires at least a NIN or a BVN?
Yeah. Why I support the initiative, right? Mm-hmm. It is very critical that we look at what kind of ID do we want to adopt? Because I will let me just give you a typical example. Mm-hmm. For everyone to have a SIM card, it means you must have gone through a level of verification or so they would have identified you and picked your biometrics, capturing, right?
With this new NIN SIM linkage, yes.
Exactly. So if that happens, where the NIN SIM linkage is there,
yes,
it's a first step for us to say, okay, fine, we now have an ID that we can use as a means of verification, which means before I can go and buy a SIM card, right, as I go to buy that SIM card,
if I
don't have my NIN, right, my NIN,
yes,
I can immediately onboard on that platform. As I'm getting my SIM card, I'm also getting onboarded the NIN platform. So that is the first entry point, you know, for me to getting into, you know, the financial ecosystem, which is a welcome idea. Right, because even in India, you have the Andhra, you know, project that, yes, mirrors, you know, almost what we want to achieve here. So once, yes, you have that, it means every household will have an account, right? In automatic, every household has an account, so they have a central data point where all financial institutions can draw from that, you know, data, mm-hmm, to register a customer. The same thing can be used in this approach, where you have
data,
the same NIN approach. So it means everybody will have access to that data. So when you come on my platform as a customer that wants to register, once I tap into that database, I can
find your details, verify that you're who you say you are.
You don't need to resubmit anything, except maybe you have changed location from point A to point B, mm-hmm, in Nigeria. Then we should have access, right, to update that, but with a permission parameter for endpoint from NIMSI. And I think once we have, that's why I talked about, you know, strategic partnership earlier. You know, if we can come together to have this handshake, those, the regulators, you know, the operators, you know, if all of us can come, the critical stakeholders that will need this data, you know, to be able to carry on their operations in their various industry, it will be a nice step, you know, for us to have that centralized data bank that everybody can draw from. So it's a welcome development.
Awesome. And just a question off of that, and looking towards the upcoming implementation of the NIN BVN requirements, the deadline for that is end of March. Would you recommend that the focus should be on NIN ownership or BVN?
I will rather say NIN.
Okay.
Because almost all the data that is connected on the BVN and NIN are almost the same thing.
With the NIN, okay. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, but I will tilt towards the NIN to be as the primary entry point for every customer that want to, you know, participate in the financial ecosystem.
Yes, just even as NIN is supposed to be foundational ID for every Nigerian. So I totally agree with you. Fantastic.
Correct.
Well, thank you so much, Issa, for that very enlightening and illuminating conversation. It's been an eye-opener. There's some things that I didn't even know were issues in terms of the legacy SIM system and the new ones, and what all of that's also impacting on verification, which just basically supports the fact that this deadline of February 28th is unrealistic and is definitely unfair to the people that we care about, and also does not take us closer to our financial inclusion goals as a country. So we hope that the people who need to hear this listen, and we will continue in our efforts to advocate for making sure that, yes, we do the right thing to strengthen our data security system, consumer protection, etc., but also without harming the people that we care about, who are the poor and vulnerable groups, and not leave them behind, as we always say. So thank you very much for contributing to this conversation.
You're always welcome.
Thank you. So on that note, inclusion for all at EFINA, we continue to represent and amplify the voices of the populations we care about by weighing in on topical financial inclusion related issues, using reliable data evidence to advocate for the removal of the barriers that keep them excluded from formal financial services. Continue to listen to Inclusion for All Radio for reliable updates and conversations about Nigeria's financial inclusion landscape. To learn more about the Inclusion for All advocacy initiative and to access more insightful data about financial inclusion for the marginalized groups in Nigeria, please visit our website, inclusion-for-all.org.